bed is like a lovely tune. Beware, my foolish heart, how wide the constant moon. Take care, my foolish heart. There's a line between love and fascination that's hard to see on an evening such as this. For they both give the very same sensation. When you're lost in the magic of a kiss, in the magic of her lips, are much too close to mine. Beware, my foolish heart. But your eager lips combine, the fire star. For this time it is in fascination, nor a dream that will fade and fall apart. It's love this time.
That was called My Foolish Heart. It was sung by The Other Guys, one of the several a cappella groups on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. That one is affiliated with the Varsity Men's Glee Club, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us for the show. We'll be with you until 5 o'clock. Coming up on the program, I'll be talking with Marion Vanderloo, who is music director of the Springfield Choral Society. They'll be producing Handel's Messiah next weekend, not this coming weekend, but next weekend for two performances. We'll hear all about it and hear samples of their work from previous concerts. But on this first portion of the program, we have some a cappella music by girls. In fact, the Girls Next Door, who are also affiliated with the University of Illinois, used to be, I think, affiliated with the Women's Glee Club, correct, but not any longer. Everybody's nodding. First of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a while since we've had an a cappella group on here. In fact, we've tried at different times to get different groups. And between, well, primarily because of your class schedules and other activities, it's really hard to do. So I'm glad we worked it out. And I guess we've got nearly the whole group here, minus two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're missing four.
Four.
Missing four? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Yeah, okay. All right. Originally 10, now we're 9, 13 in the group total, and we're glad to have you here. Well, why don't we just hear you sing first, and then we'll chat a little bit. What do you want to start with?
We're going to start with Jingle Bell Rock for you.
Logically enough, it's that time of year.
It is.
Do, 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 jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing are bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air. What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle Bell time is a swell time to to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle and a jingle in me. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. The jingle bell rock.
And that's the Girls Next Door, live in our studio here on Live and Local. They're going to be giving their Holidays Around the World concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Spurlock Museum on the University of Illinois campus. And they have one guest group from another university, a rival, arch-rival university, I guess we could say. And, you know, it's always tricky to have singers in a dead space. Fortunately, our radio audience didn't know that this is dead space until I just told them, because our sound engineer Mike Pritchard does a nice job to make it not sound that way. But also, having just heard a studio recording of another group, it's hard to blend in a space like this. You don't know where I'm going with this, except that it's leading up to a compliment. You know, it really is hard to make a good sound in a space like this. And as soon as you all started, I thought, this sounds like it could have come off of a produced recording.
A nicely
produced recording. It's a really nice sound. When you have a not quite the whole group, what do you have to do, if anything, to compensate for that?
Well, when we don't have the whole group with us, really, we pick and choose our songs very carefully because a lot of people fly solo on different parts. So today we've kind of selected specific songs for you that you can't really tell as much, parts that are doubled up. And we really just try and always blend to the person next to you. And we have a pretty consistent group sound that we like to keep.
Introduce yourself. What's your name?
I'm Ann Taylor, music director.
You are the music director, okay, mm-hmm. Which raises a question. What does a music director of a group like this do, and how do you get to be that person?
Well, we have elections every year, and the music director runs rehearsals, does a lot of arrangements, picks the set list for every show, and I get to blow this really cool pitch pipe everywhere, which I lose them all the time. This is honestly like my sixth one this year.
How do you lose those? I mean, because they're a distinctive shape.
I don't know. I need a leash for it.
They fit in your pocket.
Leave them places. I don't know.
That's okay. I used to have two in my drawer in my own choir, and I don't know where one of them went.
It's they wander off.
Somewhere. But they roll easily. Maybe
they do.
That's it. So to be the music director, I mean, to get elected, I mean, I assume that there must be some reason that people get elected, because not everybody can make arrangements. Not everybody is adept at directing. Maybe the rest of you talk about if not necessarily how you picked Anne, what are some of the criteria for deciding who that person should be?
Well, typically you can kind of tell throughout the group who kind of steps up to different leadership positions and who kind of just steps up as a leader. So those people can choose to run, or anyone can choose to run for a position. And usually I think we're pretty consistent. Usually it's pretty unanimous. It has to be unanimous eventually for us to elect someone in. And I would say definitely just someone who has those, you know, leadership qualities and definitely a big passion for the group, although we all have, like, a really big passion for it, so.
And the person talking is the person I've actually been in touch with to arrange here, Alexandra. And I've forgotten your last name.
Habib. Alexandra Habib.
I didn't know your last name before. And what's your role with the organization?
I'm the business manager of the group.
And is that also an elected position?
Yes, it is.
And that probably goes to the person who is the best organized, or at least the most willing to...
Yes.
emphasis on the latter part? Or?
She's like, just keeps all our ducks in a row, constantly.
It's pretty necessary if you're gonna negotiate everybody's schedules, I guess. Mm-hmm. I assume it's an auditioned group?
It is.
Pretty rigorous? Meaning you turn down people?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We take probably 1-2% of our auditionees, to be honest with you.
Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah.
1-2%.
Over 100 auditionees, and we take anywhere between, depending on the year, how many girls we
one
really
to,
want.
One to four.
So the Girls Next Door make a lot of other girls cry.
Oh, that's a very sad way to say that.
We do bring them cookies, though. At auditions, we bring cookies so that everybody feels like a winner.
Oh,
we feed everyone.
That's so supportive.
And we smile and clap for them afterwards, so it's always positive.
What's involved in the audition besides singing? Anything?
Audition process, they have to fill out a form just so we can get to know them a little bit, know their schedule, know if, you know, they really have the time for it. It's a very big time commitment.
Know their favorite color.
Yeah, need to know their favorite color, possible favorite Disney movie.
Best adjective that describes them.
Yeah, really, like, important facts. But the audition process really is, they fill out that sheet for us, and then the day one of auditions is they'll sing a minute of any kind of genre of music that really shows off their voice. We do warm-ups with them, and then sight reading, because we learn music so quickly, it helps to have good sight readers, but we take people who can't even read music at all and make it work, obviously, with our group. And then we have callbacks, which is very similar but a little bit more intense. They sing another piece for us, and then we will do a round of cuts, and then we will teach them a song, and we really listen for blend on that. I think that's most important for the girls next door.
I was guessing that that would have to come up there at some point.
Yeah, we get up in their face for that.
Well, you could have some fabulous singers who come through who just don't fit with the mix.
It's not all about the soloist. It's really about a group blend.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I assume we have some songs that may feature somebody or another.
Oh, yeah. Everyone coincidentally is a fabulous soloist, but that's pure coincidence.
meaning today or in the group overall?
In the group overall.
Well, that's good to hear. Members of the Girls Next Door are with us here on Live and Local, an a cappella group from the University of Illinois, and they're doing their show, holiday show, tomorrow at 7:30 at the Spurlock Museum on the U of I campus. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan Broadloom and Rug dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. Let's have another song. What's this one going to be?
Well, we have Hide and Seek for You by Imogen Heap. Nothing Christmassy here.
Should I know who this person is, by the way?
You'll know the song. You might not know the artist. I hope you know the song.
I don't necessarily count on it. We'll find out.
Sensitivity of this. Still. what you say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did what you say. That it's all for the best, of course it is what you say. That it's just what we need, what you say. Ooh, what did she say?
Imogen Heap?
Imogen Heap.
Imogen Heap?
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of her.
It's an older
song. I didn't
song.
Know the song.
It's about 5 or 6 years old.
But it's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
Well, see, that's why it's about 5 or 6 years old. I was raised in the classical world, so we're talking hundreds of years old. Those
yeah.
are the songs I know the best.
It's old for contemporary music, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, no. I know a lot of stuff, but I didn't have to know that one. Hide and Seek is called.
Mm-hmm.
The Girls Next Door. Performing here live in our studio, just minus only 4 of their members, so they're mostly here. You get a pretty good idea of what they'll sound like tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Spurlock Museum as they give their concert called Holidays Around the World, which raises a couple of questions. I was reading the description on your website of the show itself, and it made a point of saying that the songs chosen will reflect in some way or another both the religious and or cultural background of the various members of the group. What does that mean, and how does that show up in the program?
Well, in the past, or just in general, a lot of times people say they're having a holiday concert, and there's like 2 holiday songs and the rest of their regular set. And so we decided to just really dive in this year and go all with it. And so we have a lot of different cultures within the group. So tomorrow night they'll hear an Irish song, something in Arabic. We have Spanish, German, Greek. So we have a whole array.
When you say all these nationalities, do you mm-hmm. mean in those languages
yes.
or just from that tradition or both?
Yep, in both.
And what about the religious tradition side? I mean, we call it I didn't know where you meant with the holiday mm-hmm. thing. I mean, usually you have a holiday concert, and it's all Christmas music.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, some token Hanukkah song or something like that.
You know, we tried so hard to find a Hanukkah song.
They coincidentally left the Hanukkah song out.
Is that true?
We tried very hard to find one and just couldn't find one that really fit with the group. But we are representing the majority of our group. Probably, I would say, 12 out of 13 members are represented in this concert.
Which is to say that 12 of the 13 come from a Christian background?
That would be you could venture
like
to say
that.
Yes.
And do I guess who the one isn't?
The one blushing in front
the
of you.
The one blushing.
In reality, it should probably be Christmas around the world.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's usually, okay. Yeah, it's holiday has become a euphemism when it comes to music.
We secretly have an Easter song in there, but nobody knows.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
That's true?
Yes.
Well, you've given it now. Anybody yeah. listening is going to look for it.
Well, that's how we'll know that they came. They came after hearing us on the radio.
Well, that's good. I hope so. By the way, listeners, this is a message for you. I'd love to hear that you heard about a given show from hearing it on this radio program. And I know that the people who come on the show like to hear that too, because it means that they spent their time well. And it also means that that's something that they can maybe do again, and certainly makes for great radio, as you're hearing from the Girls Next Door, and makes for good PR for the groups. I mean, that's why Live and Local is here, sort of for multiple reasons, but it's a benefit to artists of all kinds, whether they're local or elsewhere, performing locally. And also it's a benefit to the listener because you can find out about concerts you wouldn't know about otherwise. Or you might see a listing. You might see the Girls Next Door a cappella Holidays Around the World at the Spurlock Museum. And it's, okay, yeah, I don't know what that means. But then you hear them, and then you say, oh, that's what it means. I want to go. or whoever may be on here. Sometimes some pretty surprising people. Anyway, that's why the show's here. A little long aside. You have some guests who are going to be on the concert, and I've noticed that it seems to be somewhat typical for university-based a cappella groups to invite other university-based a cappella groups to join them.
Yeah, we really like to network with other groups and build those kind of relationships, because wherever you are, you always build you have a same passion. So this semester we've gone to Washington University and Michigan State University to sing, and then we're inviting Indiana University to open for us tomorrow night.
And who is coming from Indiana University?
Another round. They are the previously known as Straight No Chaser. So if you are into a cappella, you probably have heard of that group before.
Did they have to change their name for some reason?
Yeah, because the old group that got back together, Straight No Chaser, that started touring, it just got kind of complicated to keep the collegiate group with the same name. So they've kind of, same group, different name.
So I mean, I thought I've heard of Straight No Chaser. So that's a group that came out of Indiana, mm-hmm. made it big, so to speak.
Yeah, and then where they got their roots, which was their collegiate group, they're still running, I guess you could say.
But they had to change their name.
Their name.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fair enough. So, but presumably, if they assemble themselves the way you assemble yourselves, there's a continuity of sound so that people who like Straight No Chaser can probably expect similar quality.
Exactly.
Are you giving them half of the program? Or
We're giving them about 20 minutes or so. They'll open the show up for us.
Okay, fair enough. So mm-hmm. they're your opening act.
They are.
You're the main act, of course.
Of course.
The girls next door. What do you want to do next?
We'll go back to Christmas for you, and we'll sing It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
I've heard of that one.
Bum 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 do 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 fa la 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 do 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 fa la 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 it's do 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 fa la 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 Merry Christmas fa la 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 bum it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start to start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your start again.
I can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like
Christmas.
Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. Right within your heart.
You probably know the name of that song. It was The Girls Next Door, live on Live and Local. And two soloists there, music director Ann Taylor, who we've been hearing a lot from just speaking here. And tell us who was your cohort.
That's Kelly Zimmer.
And I know you said earlier that virtually everybody in the chorus, choir, what do you call yourselves?
Group
in the ensemble is a good soloist.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that everybody gets to solo at some point or another?
We try and do that. We vote on solos. So someone will arrange a song, and music director picks a section that you audition for a solo for, and then everyone votes, and then highest bidder wins.
Sounds like it's a fairly democratic organization.
We try and keep it very fair.
And I assume that cliques don't form within a group like yours.
We try so not that, to.
So that somebody always gets voted down or something like that.
No, but...
A loaded question.
It's not like Survivor.
Everyone gets voted up.
Nobody's voted off the island.
No, everyone's on the island.
Well, we haven't heard any... I thought I heard you practicing with this before things started, but we haven't heard any vocal percussion yet. Are we going to?
Well, you'll hear a snip. We're kind of missing our main vocal percussionist.
I'm the backup.
Yeah, I'm the backup here.
The VP-er.
The VP-er, yes.
Or what's the other? Oh, beatboxing.
Yes, mm-hmm. Also yeah, right. Beatboxing.
So we have something that may have a little bit of it?
Yes, you'll hear about six measures.
Six measures?
But it's a teaser, I guess, for the show tomorrow night, because Emily, who's usually VPs for us, she's very talented.
Fabulous. She's
good. Says her backup.
Better than me.
The understudy we have here.
All right, well, let's hear something that uses it.
All right. This is going to be Set Fire to the Rain by Adele, and we have Alexandra, sorry, I'll be on the solo.
Sorry, can you play it again?
Nah, that's not it. I'm giving you the right pitch, Alexander.
Which one are you doing?
I let it fall.
Okay, thank you, sorry. I let it fall, my heart, and as it fell, you rose to claim it. It was dark, and I was over, until you kissed my lips, and you saved me. My hands, they were strong, but my knees were far too weak to stand in your arms without falling to your feet. But there's a side to you that I never knew all the things you'd say. They were never true, and the games you'd play, you would always win, always win. But I set fire to the rain, watch it pour as I touch your face. Let it burn while I cried, cause I heard it screaming out your name, your name. When I lay with you, I could stay there, close my eyes, feel you here, forever, you and me together, nothing is better, but there's a side to you that I never knew all the things you'd say, they were never true, and the games you'd play, you would always win, always. Sometimes I wake up by the door. That heart you caught must be waiting for ya. Even now, when we're already over, I can't help myself from looking for ya. I set fire to the rain. Watch it pour as I touch your face. Well, it burned while I cried, cause I heard it scream out your name, your name. I set fire to the rain, and I threw us into the flames. Well, it felt something died, cause I knew that was the last time. Oh, no.
Girls Next Door on Live and Local featuring Alexandra Habib in the solo here on Live and Local. And by the way, you know, don't feel too bad about the pitch at the beginning. I'm suppose a reasonably accomplished choral director, and every once in a while somebody plays a pitch. I cannot match it to save my life. Where is that?
Just sounded also, wrong in my head.
In her defense, that pitch I think is the key of the song, and it's not the pitch that she starts on.
It is the pitch she starts on.
But usually we do it differently. But
we go. Well, you all discuss this later on. The Girls Next Door will give their Holidays Around the World show tomorrow at 7:30 at the Spurlock Museum on the University of Illinois campus. It will feature Indiana University's Another Round, formerly known as Straight No Chaser. And tickets are available on the quad or at the door, a little cheaper if you get them on the quad. And we have been very pleased to have them perform here live on Live and Local. Thanks very much for coming in. You sound great.
Thanks so much for having us.
Stay tuned next for a conversation with Marion Vanderloo, who's music director of the Springfield Choral Society, who will be performing Handel's Messiah next weekend in Springfield. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was music from George Frideric Handel's Messiah and performed by the Springfield Choral Society, conducted by its music director, Marion Vanderloo, from last year's presentation at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Springfield. And they will be recreating Messiah next weekend, not tomorrow or the following day, but next weekend. In Springfield, and I'm pleased to welcome Marion Vanderloo to the program today. Thanks very much for coming in, and I'll turn your microphone on. There we go.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I talked with you on this radio program in the last mm-hmm. year, but I don't think I've seen you for years. Was it 2 years ago, really?
No, I was here, but we talked about my graying hair and my sensible shoes.
Oh, we did? I don't remember that part of the conversation. You've always worn sensible shoes, haven't you? You're that kind of girl. Springfield Choral Society has been around how long?
More than 40 years now.
Wow.
I had no idea. The third conductor. Third music director.
And this is your
eighth year.
Mm-hmm. And you did conduct for a while the Springfield Symphony Chorus.
I did.
And I know, you and I met, it must have been 20 years ago.
When I was working on my doctorate here.
At the University of Illinois.
20 years ago, yeah.
And I was working on my master's. Mm-hmm. You have your doctorate?
I didn't do the dissertation.
Oh, one of those
I lost
people.
My interest in Hildegard. That's my problem.
Let me guess,
and
that's
I
what you were
busy,
doing your paper on.
Got busy conducting.
Yeah. Well, I never got a doctorate at all. I never even started, so there you go.
Well, I finished everything except the dissertation, but...
Yeah, there's a lot... You're in very good company.
Oh, I know.
Lots of people, ABD, around this world.
There were so many chances to make music that it was just... I had much less interest in Hildegard than I did in making music.
Well, I don't want to dwell on that too much, but I'm always very curious to know what happens to somebody who starts a project as a doctor and you think, oh, this is wonderful, this is what I'm interested in, and then you find out, I guess I'm not so interested.
Yeah.
And that must happen an extraordinary
number
of times.
Oh, I think it does. I remember Pam Elrod, you remember her? She finished her residency just as I was coming into the program, and she said, when you pick your dissertation topic, pick something that you know you'll never get tired of, and I guess I didn't do that.
You thought you had, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always think it would be hard to pick one in the first place, and... I'm thinking about 100 digressions, which we better not make. Last year, as we said, you did Handel's Messiah.
Yes.
Was that one in a series of performances, or of the piece?
Well, it was.
In other words, an annual tradition.
Well, we're kind of making it an annual tradition, or we may do 2 years, do something else in the third year, and then 2 years. We don't want people to grow tired of it, although. People want to hear Messiah, and I have wanted to conduct it for a long, long time, but I refused to do it until I had the right chorus and the right orchestra and could do it.
And
properly.
What made you determine that you had the right chorus and the right orchestra?
Well, I have the right chorus, and it really has become my chorus over these 8 years. We've taken in a lot of new people, a lot of young people over the last couple of years. We have professional musicians there who sing for free. They just come every week for 2.5 hours. And the orchestra is from the Illinois Symphony. And some people come down from Champaign Symphony. And it's just a very fine organist. They did what I asked them to do. I wanted them to play in a Baroque style. And they did. I mean, there's almost not a bit of vibrato anywhere in the strings, which is really hard to get them to do. Georgia Hornbacher is the concertmaster, and of course she's the associate concertmaster for Illinois Symphony and concertmaster for the Milligan Decatur Symphony.
Is this kind of a handpicked orchestral group then, or
yeah, you know, she contracts for me from among players in the three symphonies, and of course a lot of them play in all three symphonies.
Right. Well, that's how these folks make their living a lot of the times, between teaching and so on.
Yeah, when I was a singer, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I noticed in the advertising you made a point of saying an authentic Baroque performance of Handel's Messiah. You mentioned one aspect of that vibrato, which should be used at least sparingly if you're going to try to be somewhat authentic, as best we know.
Right.
What about the singing style?
The singing style is different with respect to the fact that we follow more the score than a lot of people do. People tend to think of Messiah as just a nice loud song, especially for the choruses.
I'm not sure I want to meet those people, but
oh, I know lots of them. I've
certainly
heard many
don't think
of
it that way.
Over the years. I was a soloist with many a chorus who thought it was a loud song. We've really followed the Baroque piano forte dynamic. Back in the Baroque, maybe mezzo forte here and there, but they would write piano or forte. It's like moving from no solo work within a chorus. You know, it's chorus, solo, chorus, solo. And I've really stressed this whole business of using the dynamic changes to express exactly what the words are doing. He took the words and he built up to the height of the phrase and then let it explode and then goes back and just it kind of draws your attention.
So he does that repeatedly throughout the piece?
Yeah, throughout the whole thing. I changed some of the dynamics. We're doing the Amen chorus, which people don't normally do, and his marking is forte, and I took the liberty of making it piano so that the first forte is after a two-violin solo interlude. I also do a lot of ornamentation.
Mostly for the soloists?
Well, for the soloists, but I also have some for the chorus. A lot of trills, appoggiaturas and things for the chorus. But also, what I've done is something, years and years ago, I sang with Michael Korn and the Philadelphia Singers. And we did Messiah every year. Sold out at the Academy of Music, 1,300 seats, 7 performances every year. And he really was one of the people who helped me to learn about this piece and about the Baroque in general. And he and I worked together for hours working on ornamentation for soloists. And then we would say, why don't we do this in the orchestra too? And as a matter of fact, when I was going to do the performance last year, the board let me fly back to Philadelphia. I went to the Curtis Institute Library, which has some of his scores, and went to some orchestra parts, and there was my handwriting from 30 years ago, 35 wow. years ago. But what I've done is, in some cases, I will have the orchestra echo the ornament right after the singer has sung it, or in some cases, the orchestra plays it first, and then the soloist sings it, and it's just really ear-catching to do that. When I first showed the score to Georgia, she said, really? And they really liked it. The orchestra really liked it when they did it.
Well, I guess that's one of those things where when you say authentic performance practice, you have, as best we know, I mean, there are treatises that say, as best we know, this is how things probably were done or may have been done. But then at some point, part of the performance practice is that you do what you want.
Exactly.
Within the general bounds of style. So
that's right.
It doesn't, just because it was done this way doesn't mean that you shouldn't use your own creativity in recreating Messiah.
In the program notes, I wrote that you could take the same forces, same tempi, same dynamics, and all of that, but if you had two different conductors, it would be two entirely different performances, because every conductor brings something to the performance, and we hope it's a good thing, and the performers respond to it. But every performance can't be the same as the last one, even for each conductor. It's one of the things that makes it a living piece. It changes all the time. And I think it will continue to change. I think we have learned much more about the Baroque since back when Mozart did his edition with all the extra wind instruments and everything. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's fascinating.
Heard that version,
but
yeah.
I actually a couple of times laughed out loud when I heard some of the things he did.
There are some surprises, to say the least.
But you know, and he wrote this piece, and then people added instruments, and they had huge orchestras, and the tempi got slower and slower and slower. So it was, and the glory of, and it's a dance, and the glory of the Lord. But what we did was we read manuscripts, we read his manuscripts, we read the notes he made, we read reviews, we read letters back and forth between him and other performers, letters, long, long reviews and interviews with conductors of the period who were doing this work or other similar works.
You mean conductors in Handel's day?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, I didn't do all that.
Right. Somebody did.
Yeah, the research has been done so that we have a much better idea of how this work should be performed. And in general, it's the first part, the passion, or excuse me, the nativity is certainly much livelier than it got to be back in the late 19th and early 20th centuries.
Which actually raises a question. We're talking, by the way, about the Springfield Choral Society's production of performances of Handel's Messiah, which is going to Boy, my grammar's messed up today. Handel's Messiah performances are going to be Friday and Saturday, December 14th and 15th at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Springfield. And are you doing all of it? I know you said you're doing the Amen. And, of course, you refer to the Nativity, but are you doing the whole thing?
Someday I'm going to do the whole thing. What I think I was going to add things from the end toward the middle and then eventually have the beginning and the end meet in the middle so that everybody hears the whole thing. It's, you know, it's a good 3 hours to do the whole thing. What we do is the traditional, which is all of part one, which is the birth of Nativity.
The so-called Christmas portion.
Exactly. And then everyone does the Hallelujah Chorus, and I don't want to disappoint people. The Hallelujah Chorus actually ends the second part.
Which is the so-called Easter portion.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's the Passion. And then at the very end of the third section, which is the Resurrection section, last year we did only the Amen. This year we're going to go right from the Hallelujah Chorus to Worthy is the Lamb, then Blessing and Honor, and then the Amen Chorus. So we've added a decent portion from the very end because it just that part is the culmination of the whole story. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So I just decided to add it. Singers love it. And it's just wonderful. You go from this hallelujah, boom, worthy.
That's wonderful.
And it's in the same key, you know, it's on D. So.
How convenient.
Yes.
So one day, as you say, you'll fill in the rest.
Yeah.
The poor Easter portion, except for Hallelujah Chorus and the Resurrection portion, so seldom get done.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, people usually do Messiah at Christmas time when really belongs to be done at Easter time, if you're going to do the whole thing.
Don't want to sound like the snobbish East Coaster, but when I was with the Philadelphia Singers, we sang it cover to cover, solos and choruses. And, of course, I did many other performances as soloists with other orchestras and choruses all over Philadelphia, New York, Washington. And I was trying to count it up, and I think I've sung the whole thing cover to cover, solos and choruses, more than 200 times. So it's really a part of me. The whole thing is a part of me.
That's a lot of performances.
Yeah. Well, and some really bad ones.
Well, inevitably.
Not my part, of course. But
of course not. Before we get back to Messiah, I wanted folks to hear the Springfield Choral Society in a different context.
Yes.
This was your concert just this past April at St. Agnes Catholic Church. Talk about the piece we're going to hear by Mendelssohn.
We did a program called 2x4, which is double choir music. I got the idea when I was trying to come up with a theme for our spring concert, and nothing would come. I'd try this, and I'd look up music, and nothing. And then I heard that next door they were renovating a house, and I heard a saw going through wood. I thought, 2x4. And so there we had it. So we did a concert of mostly double choir music. And
so the four part is that typically a four-part choir.
Exactly. So we have 2 4-part choirs. And
and then you hit the people over the head with it.
Right.
This is the piece is
Frohlocket ihr Völker auf Erden. Rejoice, O people of all the earth.
Springfield Choral Society, led by Marion Vanderloo, who's music director, and my guest here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Oh,
Applause for the Springfield Choral Society from this past April at St. Agnes Catholic Church. Frohlocket ihr Völker auf Erden. Rejoice, people of the world. Music by Felix Mendelssohn, conducted by Marion Vanderloo, who's music director of the Springfield Choral Society. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Programming today is made possible in part with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting you to visit the Promenade Gift Shop for artfully affordable and exceptionally eclectic gifts. More information on upcoming events is available on krannertcenter.com. Before we just talk a little bit more about the Messiah, how often does the Springfield Choral Society perform?
We perform
full concerts anyway.
Two concerts each season, and we do each of them twice. But we have done other concerts in between. We were invited to sing with the Kronos Quartet a few years ago. We did a piece called Sun Rings. It has lots of electronic music and electronic sounds. It was terrifying. It was a very difficult piece. Mm. One of the hardest I've ever had to teach a group. And I had to wear a headset because they had click tracks, you know, for when we were supposed to sing. And I said, you know, you got to follow the stick because if we get behind, we're sunk. And then last year we sang with the King Singers.
Fabulous.
Came to Springfield and, I can't remember the name of the piece. But that was really neat. We've done concerts at the Lincoln Museum. We sang in the Rotunda there and on a Memorial Day weekend, day after I broke my wrist.
That must have been comfortable conducting.
Yeah. Which is not, I mean, we went to Italy last year. I've taken my fifth European concert tour, and last year we went to Italy and went to some beautiful places. And the day before we left, I climbed Mount Vesuvius and fell and broke my leg. I'm dining out on the ambulance ride alone.
Nice. You might want to be cautious of some of these things.
Yeah. Next in 2014, we're going to Paris or to bring it to France.
And which mountain will you climb before that trip?
None.
Which big bike trip will you take?
None.
I've now completely forgotten where I was going to go after that. We'll come back to Messiah. We're talking about what portions people usually do. Usually it's Christmas portions, but sometimes certain choruses get left out.
Yeah.
Even when you do the chorus. I know what I was going to ask. Simply this, which is how many singers have you got in the chorus?
On the roster, we have 80. There are 70 who are singing,
singing this concert.
Not everybody can sing every concert.
Right. Okay. I was curious of the size, because it sounds like it could be pretty big.
Yeah, it is. It's a big group, and it's been very tricky to get them moving across those fast melismatic passages, but they do it. As a matter of fact, you're going to listen to His Yoke Is Easy, and we're doing it even a little bit faster this year than I did it, because I just really want it to be the way I understand it's supposed to be.
So this is one of those choruses that often doesn't get done.
It's because it's a tough one.
Is that the main reason, you think?
Yeah, I think so. It's not very long, but it's a hard one.
It's one of my favorite choruses.
No, I love it. Yeah.
I think I've tried it with my church choir, and we put it down each time.
Mm.
You have to have voices that, you know, really flex.
Yeah.
Or I suppose, in many cases, you know, you've got 70 voices, you probably have to teach them how to fake it to a certain degree.
Yes, I do. And there are leaders. I have, as I said, professional singers in each of the sections. And, Cindy Oak was one of my colleagues at Milligan. She comes and sings for free. And we have several music teachers and teachers who have left teaching but are still singing, and they come and sing. And
people love to sing.
They do, and they give their time. And every year I think, what if they don't come back? And every year they come back. So.
It's got to be a good testament. Well, here's this one also comes from last year's performance by the Springfield Choral Society of Handel's Messiah. His Yoke Is Easy, Marion Vanderloo conducts.
Thank you.
from Messiah. His yoke is easy. That particular chorus, not often, or I should say often, not done, but certainly one of my favorites. And that's the one that ends the Christmas portion, doesn't it? Officially?
It is, yes.
So that should be the end if you were just going to do Christmas, but
right.
You got to do Hallelujah.
Right, but you have to do the Hallelujah chorus. And we actually, I told them, please don't stand for the Hallelujah chorus because I want you to hear the Amen. Not a person stood. And they applauded us, went on and on and on. I said to the chorus and orchestra, be ready. And we did an encore of the Hallelujah chorus.
Oh, yeah.
And they just went crazy.
And then they probably stood up, right?
They did. Yeah. I turned around and motioned for them to stand up. It's on YouTube.
That was conducted by Marion Vanderloo, the Springfield Choral Society is, and she will be conducting that ensemble with orchestra in Handel's Messiah, Christmas portion and some more, Friday and Saturday, December 14 and 15th at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception on South 6th Street in Springfield. For more information or for tickets, you can call 217-787-4868. For more information on the Springfield Choral Society, logically enough, it's springfieldchoralsociety.org. Marion, thanks for coming on the show and
thanks
best
so
of luck with the performance.
Me. Thanks a lot.
Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. Appreciated having you with us today. I'll be back with another show on Monday. Hope you have a great weekend. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana, with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 5 o'clock.